Also, this morning, before we get into the message, I want to thank all of you who helped out in the Bible school, but I couldn't come. I couldn't be there. Your prayers were the most important part. So if you prayed for us this week, God gave us good weather. By the way, God's in control of the weather. And God gave us safety. I had some good discussions with some young people. And I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate those who came out to set things up ahead of time and clean some things up afterwards. Much of that was done long before, long after the time. There's a good clue for you. Set things up before or after. Pick up after, not during. But some went out and picked some kids up, contacted kids to bring them in. And I was grateful for those that came this week. Wonderful time, and some that made snacks, some that made some cookies. Oh boy, I've never had too many cookies at Bible school, and the cookies were better than my apple slices, but I don't know, the kids really liked them too. I didn't get to take any of those home, and those that helped to serve them, and packed lunches, made sandwiches, we had some good sandwiches, And I want to just thank those that were able to be here to help out with the kids, to help with the activities, to be an encouragement, to make it enjoyable and fun for the kids. And we had certainly a great time. And to be quite honest with you, I was a bit nervous, to say the least, taking kids down the river because most kids have no clue, no understanding at all of how dangerous that can be. Kids don't like to listen to instructions, so I just say, nobody get ahead of me. And then we have somebody assigned to be at the back. I tell you what, I was better to be at the front. The reason I do that, because there are some places you got to be careful, and kids that don't know what they're doing, they're going to make sure that they get around those okay. Otherwise, we could have some big trouble. But those that were following behind, we always had some lagging behind. Some young people said, I asked in the beginning, because we just barely had enough canoes and kayaks. I had to make an emergency run to Walmart to get more life jackets for everybody. And there's some kids that said, okay, some kids are going to have to go in canoes, so who knows how to handle a canoe? And the Hickses go down all the time in the kayaks. I don't know if any of them know. Did I ever put you in a canoe, Ben? Did you go in a canoe? If you're not used to a canoe, it's hard to steer one of those things. A couple of girls said, well, I know how to steer a canoe. They ran into that bank, then they ran into that bank, and they ran into that bank, and then they ran into that bank. And finally, when they caught up, I thought she said you knew how to work a canoe. They're like, oh, I know how to work a canoe, but there's something wrong with this canoe. They're all the same, bud. But, of course, it's always the canoe's fault, but... Anyways, those that were lagging behind had to put up with the kids that wanted to swim instead of kayak and keep up with everybody. And I was about to baptize them, see how long they could stay underwater. But we made it through okay, and everything went out good. And I thought, is Amy down in the nursery? Where'd she go? She went downstairs. Somebody go get Amy. We need to get Amy in here. Just substitute for her for a minute. I appreciate those who are able to be here every day. And by the way, the van doesn't look too bad where you crashed it, Jessica. So just kidding. I couldn't even tell which Nick was the one you put. But I don't know what the other guy looks like. But Jessica and Amy, I want them to come up here. But I want Amy to come up here too, because they deserve a Purple Heart. Now wait a minute. Purple Heart for somebody that dies in the battlefield. That's it. That's what? A wounded. Okay. But they were wounded. I was going to say Purple Heart. Oh, wait a minute. So I want Jessica and Amy to come up here. Whenever Amy comes up here, she's coming up, I think. Otherwise, we're going to have somebody come up for her. I want to recognize them and thank them publicly for helping out and putting up, getting the kids down the river. Collected off. We took a nose count. We had the same number of kids. I'm not sure if they're all the same kids. I'm going to say this while they're coming. I thought, well, I'm a couple of paddles short, and I get a couple of good paddles that I didn't want to give to anybody. So I ended up using one of my good ones. I thought, I'm going to pick up an extra paddle so we have enough. But they don't sell kayak paddles at Walmart. Anyway. I found that out. You can get them online. But they don't sell them there. And I thought, well, halfway down, God knew you need to buy one. I'm going to give you one. We're halfway down the river, and I saw something sticking out the bank. It's been there for a long time. That's a paddle sticking out of the bank. It was down a little ways from the top and saddled down and everything else. And I said, somebody go up and get that thing. And they pulled out. Sure enough, there's our two better kayak paddles. So now we got enough for next time. So Jessica and Amy, come on up here. I'm going to give them a gift certificate. Go get yourself an ice cream cone. All right? The gift certificate in there for Dairy Delight. All right? Give them a big hand. And also, my wife, she's just a preacher's wife, so she has to do this, whether she wants to or not. But I'm just so thankful for my wife. And yesterday was a food pantry day, so that's a 2- or 3-person job that she handled by herself yesterday. And then extra cleaning, and then we did some shopping earlier for the things this week. And yesterday, just to add to things, she was cooking the food that you're going to eat in a little bit. And preparing the tableware and drinks and serving utensils and cleaning supplies and then putting that bulletin together that you have. And this is just a typical Saturday, it seems like, almost anymore. But then the most difficult job she has with that bulletin. And I'm going to hear it because I recognize her. That is definitely the hardest thing that she does. But I want you to turn your Bible this morning to 1 Samuel chapter number 13. 1 Samuel chapter number 13. And I've been enjoying our study in Samuel. This week, again, we focus on 1 Samuel 12 through 15. And every week I'm enjoying more the discussion time on Wednesday night of what God has taught you from the Scriptures. Just sharing some simple truths of what God has shown me. And I've learned that every time you go through the chapter, you get something new. Sometimes it's just a phrase that you never noticed was there before, or a principle that you never noticed before, or an event that you never stuck out to you in the past. But we're just going to read a couple of verses in 1 Samuel 13, and I've got kind of an unusual message from our text, and also from because it is Father's Day. But I want to start by reading this verse in 1 Samuel 13. And if you found it in your Bible, let's stand together, if you will. We look at verse 13 and 14 of 1 Samuel 13. And you just follow along as I read, and then we will pray and let you have a seat. And Samuel said unto Saul, "Thou hast done foolish. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain. Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded." Our Father, we pray your blessing upon the Word of God today. And Lord, there are some here that have already tuned me out. God, I pray that you would work in their hearts through the person of the Holy Spirit. And God, if there's folks that are listening online that are not here, I pray that you would meet with them and show them the truths from your word today. For it's not what I say, it's not what I do, but it's what God shows us. And only you can speak to the heart. Lord, as I just point out some simple things from the word of God today, I pray that you would pierce our hearts and show us great truths from heaven. And God, I pray especially if there's one that's listening now or later, that Lord, that does not know you as their Savior, that this would be the day that they see that salvation is only in the person of Jesus Christ, the great God that created the universe, that spoke all things into existence, the one by whom all things consist, our Father in heaven. We look up to you today. Lord, I pray that you would bless now as we learn some things about these great characters in the Bible that reveal things to us about ourselves. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you will. This is Father's Day. And I will say this, in our study of 1 Samuel, I've been a little bit, I mentioned it in Sunday school, somebody said, I don't like the fact that we stopped at chapter number 15. Well, I don't like it either, so I kept going. In fact, every day I read the chapters and kept reading until I got to 2 Samuel, about chapter 2 or 3, because that's a good stopping point. And I was amazed at what God taught me. And again, if you have not, and I'm going to say this, I brought one here with me. If you've not read this little book, you have no idea what you're missing. This book has been so helpful. I read it again this week, The Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards. It talks about David and Saul and my Absalom. Will I be in the spirit of David or in the spirit of Saul? Most of us, if we're honest, we would say, most everything we do is in the spirit of Saul. David was a man after God's heart. Not that he was perfect, and certainly he was not perfect, but this book will be a great help to you, and especially while we're going through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, or just the book of Samuel. But I see myself, in myself, the spirit of Saul, and I saw it again this week as I read through that book again. And I desire to have the spirit of David. The only way we're going to get the spirit of David is, first of all, be broken. There's problem. To be broken. We sing that song about the cross, kneeling at the cross. And there we weep and pray, not for the one who died on the cross for us, but because of our sin that put him there. But my attention this week has been focused on to be quite honest with you, we don't see much and we don't think of him as the main character in this book, because he wasn't one of the kings. He wasn't a great prophet. He should have been a king, but he wasn't a king. He was aligned to be a king. And this is Father's Day. So I want to have a message, and I must confess that those who know me, and I already mentioned it to somebody this morning, I get a little cranky on holidays. Because we make so much of them. And the days that we set aside to honor certain people or whatever, partially because I'm not sure how I should respond. I'm not sure how I should honor someone. And to some people, it's a day of guilt. Boy, I need to be a better father. I need to kick myself because I'm not a better father. Or they get offended because I'm not a father. Or my father's in heaven. Or I don't have a good earthly father, or whatever. Folks, I think today it's a popular thing to get offended for those that don't have fathers or aren't the father. But the truth is, every day ought to be the same. Every day you ought to honor your father. Are you with me? Hello? Every day you ought to love and honor and obey your father. Ephesians chapter number 6 says, children, obey fathers in the Lord. Not just on Sunday, not just on one day a week. Obey your parents. And by the way, my parents are in heaven, and I still am obligated to obey them today. Honor thy father and thy mother. Anybody here have a father and a mother? Even when your father and mother forsake you, and sad to say, that's a very common thing today, the Lord Himself picks up. And God gives a special grace. This is the first commandment with promise. I guess I put this verse in your bulletin. And by the way, you're going to need your bulletin this morning. Everybody got a bulletin? That's your Father's Day card. You got a Father's Day card. Try to make it look like a card. That's the best I can do. which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Does that mean I'm going to live to be an old man or an old lady? That doesn't sound nice, does it? An older person? Hey, even if my life is cut short, it can be a long life if it's a life used for God. We're not talking about long in number of years. In fact, the person that we're going to look at and focus on this morning has his life cut short. But he's still exalted today. He still lives today. And provoke not your children. Fathers, provoke not your children. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Some of us, our children are not close by anymore. Geographically, but God is gracious enough to, you know, you don't have to go one city block to find some children that need to have a father figure in their life. And sometimes we get so focused, and I think it's kind of a blessing that our kids are gone. No, don't take that the wrong way, kids, if you're listening to me, because then you can open your eyes to others that are in need around you. But I want to give you a Father's Day card today. And that's what my message is going to be this morning, a Father's Day card to remember. In your bulletin, under Ephesians 6, 1 and 4, is what's supposed to look like a Father's Day card. I couldn't figure out. I'm not real handy with the computer, so I did the best I could. And I told my wife, if you can doctor it up some, you can do better than me, but neither one of us are real good. We're old school. I don't understand how these things work. Now, some kids can play games, but I don't know if I can count on them to do things that are helpful on the computer. But here's a Father's Day card. On the left side, on the inside, you open that card up, is Proverbs 17, 6. Children's children are the crown of old men. And the glory of children is their fathers. You know, that's a fascinating verse right there. Children are naturally desire to glory in their fathers. You know, I remember when I was a kid, everybody I knew that on the playground that I went to school with had a dad at home. That's not the case anymore. But it was always my dad bigger than your dad. My dad's stronger than your dad. My dad can do this. My dad's stronger and bigger and whatever. And it was always a bragging rights about your dad. He was your hero. And the glory of children is fathers. Sad today. Years ago, we had a young man that was living with us that comes from a very difficult, complicated, I guess is what the cool kids say today, a complicated background. And every Saturday, he said, my father said that he's going to meet me today. He's going to take us out fishing. We're going to go to a park. We're going to do this and that. And I'm going to wait out here Saturday morning. Dad said he's going to be here at 7 o'clock in the morning. Dad never showed up. The next week, the same story. Dad said, we're going to go fishing today. We're going to go do this today. He'd sit out there a couple hours waiting for Dad to show up. Dad never showed up. For weeks, for months, this went on. But he just couldn't accept the fact that Dad didn't even show up. That Dad is not going to keep his promises. The saddest thing about all that is not the tragedy of one life, but we learn some things about our God from our earthly father. If you had an earthly father that's absent, abusive, it's going to be hard for you to understand. That's why I love that verse that the psalmist said. I was thinking about it after my prayer time. God kind of gave me that verse and thinking about the message again this morning. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord my God will leave me. And we live in a world today that's not been raised with a dad in the home, and therefore they have a hatred toward the traditional home and a hatred toward God himself. Those two go hand in hand. Are you with me this morning? That's why our world's such a mess today. But here's a Father's Day card. Dear Dad, and I'm going to take, and I will say that I had a hard time stopping in 1 Samuel 15, and I just had to go through every day through the rest of the book of 1 Samuel, and especially something that caught my attention when we come to this day that we call Father's Day. And by the way, everybody gets a card, the world's best dad. I got one card for my kids so far. It's actually a box with an Amazon gift card inside of it. And there it is, best dad ever. That's me. You're not the best. I'm the best dad. You know, doesn't matter who you are, you're the best dad ever. Right? World's greatest dad. I saw somebody yesterday wearing a t-shirt. World's greatest dad. I thought, oh my, we're in trouble. You're the world's greatest dad. But everybody, the best dad ever. The world's greatest dad. I was giving my daughter that sent me this a hard time. To God, we'll meet that tomorrow morning. Preacher's kids never get out of being examples in church. Boy, I am the best because I got a card that says so. I am the best dad. And you can see why I get a little cranky on the holidays. But I'm thankful for children that honor every day and not just on the special day. So someday put on an air, well, we got to pretend that we love dad today. Let's put up with him today and whatever. But no, that's not the case with our children. Thank the Lord because they got a good mom. That's why. But here's a Father's Day card to the greatest dad ever. And it's signed by somebody that we're going to look at this morning. Signed by Jonathan. You know who Jonathan is? Signed by Jonathan. The world's greatest man. That's his card. Now I want to show you some things about Jonathan. We're going to have to hurry through this. I'm not sure. We'll just do the fastest we can. There's an interesting balance when I read the life of Jonathan. He honored and obeyed his father, Saul, who was a madman that was filled with pride, an angry man, a man who was filled with self-esteem, which seems to be put on a high shelf today and exalted today, which is one of the most dangerous things anyone could desire is self-esteem. But that's just the craziness of our world we live in today. A man that was filled with vengeance, a bitter, hateful man. He was, to say the least, not a good man, but Jonathan always honored his daddy. And he would have given him a card, "You're the world's greatest dad, Saul." And he was torn between Saul and his friend that he would do anything for in his love and loyalty to David, the shepherd boy, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The man after God's own heart, the mighty warrior, the giant killer, the man who allowed God to break him so he could be the great leader, the man after God's own heart. Now I want to see some things about, now we're going to jump ahead from where our reading was this week because I want you to see the things that God showed me this week about Jonathan. Jump, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter number 16. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. And I want you to see something about this man that Jonathan said, "You are the world's greatest dad, King Saul." In chapter 16, verse number 10, follow the narrative along as I read it. "And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, 'Lord, thou hast not chosen these.' And Samuel said unto Jesse, 'Are they other children?' Samuel said unto Jesse, 'Are there other children?' And he said, 'There remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep.' And Samuel said unto Jesse, 'Send and fetch him, for we will not sit here until he come hither.' And he sent and brought him in, and he was a ruddy, and withal a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look upon. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is he.'" Here's Saul anointing David to be the next king. And Samuel anoints David number 13. "And Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed David." Verse number 14 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." By the way, have you ever noticed that this evil spirit is from the Lord? That's interesting. "And Saul's servants said unto him, 'Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit of God is upon thee that he shall play his hand and thou shalt be well." Isn't it amazing what music can do? There's two things that are fascinating and me. What the power of music can do without words, the type of music can cast out a demonic spirit. And also this little boy who's running, he is, in God's eyes, a man. In God's eyes, there's no such thing as a teenager. You know, we let kids be kids until they're 30, 40 years old. But God says, he said, you're a child and you're an adult. You're a little boy and you're a man. The manhood starts at teenage years. But I'm going to go into that. But Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. And he answered one of his servants and said, behold, I have seen the son of Jesse, a Bethlehemite, cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with me. Notice, first of all, Jonathan says to Saul, you're the greatest dad, and I will honor you even while you are possessed with an evil spirit. Even while you're possessed with an evil spirit. Saul's angry spirit caused him to despise David. He attempted two different times while David was there playing his harp before him to cast out the demons. Well, the demon, the evil spirit, I keep saying demon, the evil spirit that was from the Lord got a hold of him and he couldn't control himself and he picked up his javelin and tried to spear David two different times right there in his own house. I think, maybe I need to play a different number here. Huh? That one's not your favorite, huh, Saul? He was a crazy man. Jonathan sought to confront Saul on David's behalf. Hey, Saul, David's done nothing but good to you, and look how you're treating him. There's something wrong, and even though you've got this spirit that's controlling you, and a lot of men have got a demonic spirit controlling them. Might be an alcohol bottle. That might be the lust of the flesh. It might be a drug addiction or whatever it is, or just the overall angry countenance that's controlling them. And Jonathan says, I'm still going to honor you as my dad. You're still the world's greatest dad. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter number 20, 1 Samuel chapter number 20, I need to hurry through these to give you what goes in your blank there. 1 Samuel chapter number 20 in your bulletin. We'll give you a verse here in chapter 20 and verse number 27. We'll start reading here. I'm going to find the right page. And it came to pass in the morrow, on the second day. Now David, of course, was absent at the time of peace. And Saul said unto Jonathan, his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet, whether yesterday or today? And they set out a deal. I'm not reading all the details here. I just want to point out something. And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our father had a sacrifice. Now, Jonathan's trying to stand up for David. Jonathan's trying to reconcile their differences. Our family has a sacrifice in the city. My brother has commanded me that they should go there to verse number 30. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know what thou hast chosen, the son of Jesse, to thine own confusion, to take your place, and unto the confusion of my mother's nakedness? For as long as this son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom, wherein now send and fetch him unto me, and he shall surely die. You see, Saul's anger problems coming out of there. You can see the steam rolling out of his ears. And Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What has he done? What's he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him, at Jonathan, to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was father to slay David. Jonathan said, yeah, I think Dan's a little upset, isn't he? I think that didn't turn out the way I thought it would. That's not a good sign when your dad picks up a spear and tries to stick you against the wall with that spear. Now here's Jonathan. Now say this. Your dad you're the greatest dad ever. Love, Jonathan. I love you even when you attempt. No matter what you do, I'm always going to love you, Dad. Don't think it's special. Don't think you're somebody special because your children are true, Jonathan. Godly government, but still love with Dad despite the fact that Dad's tried to kill him. His anger and his fit of rage. And Jonathan arose in verse number 34 from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, and he was grieved. Notice this, he was grieved not for himself. He didn't go through a pity party, but he was grieved for David because his father had. In fact, I see in Jonathan maybe one of the greatest example of God's love toward us. Maybe one of the most Christ-like example you'll find in the Old Testament is this man, Jonathan. That had no... And by the way, the throne would have been his when Dad died. He said, no, this throne's not mine. It's Lord David. He chose an unworthy shepherd boy that God had chosen. He saw something in that boy that only God could see. And then we read on, and I guess we could say this, that I will love you as your bulletin has those blanks to fill in. I will love you even when you attempt to kill me. And then Jonathan say, I will be loyal to you and to those that you hate. There's a conflict in Jonathan's heart. He loved his father and wanted to honor and obey his father, and he was obedient. I could turn to many places where we see his obedience to his father. And we won't go to all of them. You'll see them when we go through the book of 1 Samuel. But he had a great conflict in his heart between his father, whom he wanted to honor and obey, and David, his friend. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, I want you to see these verses. 1 Samuel 17, verse 55. 1 Samuel 17 and 55, and into chapter number 18. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 55. And then Saul saw David. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistines, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, and remember in this chapter, David slew Goliath. He said, whose son is this? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou of whose son that this stripling is. By the way, he should have known who David was. David's playing the harp every day in his house. Now he sees him on the battlefield, doesn't know who he is. And the king said, inquire thou who this stripling is. And David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, and Abner took him. And I love this picture. This is one of my favorite scenes in the Bible. Now, you won't find this on flannel graph in your Sunday school class, but I love this scene here. And David comes and he brought before him Saul. He was brought before Saul and with the head of the Philistine in his hand. He's marching around town, dragging his head. Hey, David, don't you think you should maybe do something to that? No, man, this is my trophy. Look what I got. Maybe got him by the hair, dragging him through the... And by the way, that head would have been big for a little teenage boy. He had it dripped over his shoulder. He came in carrying his head, dripping and oozing with everything else. And oh, isn't that a cool scene? Well, I love that. Here's this man, and David comes in, dragging the head of the Philistine. Saul said to him, whose son art thou, young man? And David said, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And notice in verse number 1 of chapter 18, and it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. Jonathan was impressed. Wow! Here's this guy dragging the head through Jerusalem of Goliath. And standing before my king, wow, this is my kind of guy. I like this guy. And Jonathan, in verse number 1, loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more to his father's house. Jonathan loved David. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan, notice this, in verse number 4, and again, I see here a picture of Jesus. Jesus Christ in Jonathan. Jonathan stripped himself of his robe. You know what that robe meant? That robe was his royal garment. That robe meant that I'm the next one on the throne. He took that robe off of his own shoulders and put it on the shoulders of David. And not only that, it says he stripped himself of his robe that was upon him and gave it unto David, and his garments even to his soldiers. Their greatest possession, their greatest sign of authority. In fact, a lot of soldiers, as they carry a sword, not to use in battle, but as a sign of their authority. The greatest honor a soldier can give to someone else is to give them their weapon, their sword. And now Jonathan hands his sword to David, showing his honor and respect and that he is worthy. And his bow, his weapon that he's going to use, in his bow as in bow and arrow, he gave that to David. And his girdle, that's not undergarments, okay? That's talking about his belt, we would call it today. Something that holds everything together. In other words, he recognized David alone is worthy of everything, and I'm going to give him everything that rightfully is mine because I love him. For God so loved the world. Again, here is a great picture of God's love for us, that he would take us, unworthy sinners, and give us his robe of righteousness, to give us his weapon of prayer, to give us a place at his table, to lift us up into his presence. Jonathan loved as Christ loved those who he should. And by the way, Jonathan should see David as a threat to his position. But instead, he gave everything. Jonathan loved those who he should rightfully be hating. God loved us even while we were yet sinners. And then we follow David's life through years of hiding from Saul, while Jonathan faithfully served his crazy father, Saul. His unworthy father, who is possessed by an evil spirit that could do nothing right, it seemed like, and Jonathan loyally followed and honored his dad, but also honored his friend, David. Dear Dad, the greatest dad, happy Father's Day. And notice this, and we're going to come to the end here in just a moment. In 1 Samuel 31, I want you to turn there, and King Saul is about to face his demise, Philistines. He's come to the last day of his life, and something that I've enjoyed, I shared with you Wednesday, how when Saul left, Samuel left the presence of Saul and said, you'll not see me again till the day you die. It's interesting how Samuel showed up to the witch of Endor before Samuel the day that he died, long after he's been dead in the grave. That's interesting. That's a side note there. But now Saul has come to his final battle for the Philistines in chapter 31. I want you to see this. And the Philistines fought against Israel. Again, this is after David has been chased like a dog, living in caves and hiding. Saul, he had two different times. By the way, twice he had the opportunity to kill Saul, but he would not take it. Just like Saul tried to kill David twice, and God helped him to flee. And now he had two opportunities where he could have easily taken Saul's life, but he refused to do it. The Philistines fought against Israel. And the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. By the way, his sons were still faithful to their dad, who was a madman, who was a crazy man. The Spirit of God had departed from him. They had no reason why they should, human reason why they should stay faithful to him, but they still want to honor dad, no matter who he is. And the Philistines followed hard after Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Melchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. And then said Saul unto his armor bearer, "Draw thy sword, thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon him. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men that same day together. Happy Father's Day, Dad. You're the greatest dad ever. Love, Jonathan. I'll honor you even while you are possessed with an evil spirit. I'll love you even though you are attempting to kill me. I'll be loyal to you and to those that you hate. Then I will gladly give my life. What a picture of a faithful son. What a picture of God's only begotten Son died us while we were unworthy. I'll be honored to die alongside of you on the battlefield because he did. Children's children are the crown of old men, the glory of children of their fathers. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father. Promise you, so shall it be well with thee, and thou shalt live a long life. David, Jonathan's life was cut short, but he still serves today as an example of Christ-like love, of character in honoring the Father, not because his earthly father was worthy, but because he was honored to be the son of the Father. You know, we don't get to choose. It's a sweet. You don't get to choose who your parents are. But you need to honor them. It's not your fault for their sins and their failures and their shortcomings, but it's up to you to love them and honor them the best you can. I, some folks say, well, you don't understand what it is to be, hey, I'm grateful for the struggles that I went through being rejected of my own family as a newfound Christian. That's when God gave me that verse and that understanding that even my father and mother forsake me, and the Lord himself he will be a father unto me. A father to the fatherless. There's a couple of songs I've heard that were written from that song. There's no father like our Heavenly Father. A father ought to seek to exemplify his purpose and his Heavenly Father. I want to honor him first and foremost. And I'm thankful, and I love the fact that Jesus taught us to pray to our Father, our Heaven. Just as Jesus could call God the Father his Father, I can call him my Father. And I'm an heir of Christ. You say, well, I don't fit into the family. Oh, I fit into God's family. That's the family that I'm most thrilled about. And I don't get too worked up over these earthly holidays and earthly, yes, we ought to honor our earthly father, but the truth is you ought to do that every day, not just one day a week. Pray for them and love them all the time, constantly. And especially if they walk with God or they got a godly testimony, or godly memory, or good memory from when they lived here in this earth, that they're in the presence of God right now, or even if they've never got saved and they're not in heaven right now, and they're in eternity in hell, the lake of fire apart from God, you didn't have a choice in who your father was. And your relationship with them ought to magnify your relationship with your heavenly father. In other words, if my earthly father is not somebody I can rightfully proclaim, well, bless God, he's good, but more important, multitude, each more important, my relationship with my heavenly father, God himself. And I want to love him and be an example of him and point others to him and realize that I've got a brother. Somebody said today, we ought to have a brother's day. Brother Jesus. Amen. Every day is a brother Jesus day. And we can pray, our Father in heaven. More than just a day to say, hey, Dad, I love you. Let's have a barbecue and then forget about it the rest of the year. Let's emphasize our heavenly Father. We have a relationship with him. Is he your Father? Not in the fact that he created you, but the fact that he loved you, he died for you, you accepted him, Jesus, as your Savior, and you are now a member of his eternal family. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.